You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
What's this button do?
You are now entering the green world.
Victoria University of Wellington PhD candidate Alexander Korov, alongside Harvard Professor of Science Naomi Oreske, published an article about the impact of AI on scientific literature in the digital age. They highlight the difficulty of scrutinizing information in the explosion of scientific papers newly produced and available, and discuss the benefits and disadvantages of artificial intelligence in responding to the new norm of literature. For Green World this week, I spoke to Alexander Korov about this issue and the future of AI's influence on academic research.
Yes, so if you look at just the sheer number of papers published per year, you will see that from year to year we have more and more papers, pretty much in all of the fields. This can be associated with many things, like first of all, the number of scientists increased, the number of universities increased, the number of countries that actively participate in scientific discovery has increased. So all of these factors together push us towards more scientific papers. If we talk about specifically this last 10-20 years, when the internet became so widespread and many journals became like electronic journals, not paper journals, but like full electronic journals. We can also say that the friction of writing a paper and submitting a paper has decreased. And now it became much easier for people all over the world to submit these papers. And also the cycle became faster. You submit a paper, they review it, they send it back. So all of this cycle of submission and peer review became compactified. So everything became faster. If we talk about artificial intelligence, and maybe in the past, like 2 years, people see that there is like a new wave of research, like research papers that are published, that are written using various AI assistance tools. And there are studies that look at the use of certain words in papers. And you see that when ChatGPT got released, people like changed their language a little bit. People started to use certain words more frequently. So at the end of the day, when you analyze what's written by scientists, you see that there are a lot of this ChatGPT stamps. But that's not a malpractice. It's just like how people optimize their work process. There is also malpractice when people just generate pictures and papers and texts with ChatGPT and similar tools and then publish it as original research. And yeah, so now we have this wave of a lot of, it's not even bad research, it's fictional research, it's not real.
Yeah, you're talking a bit about paper mills and for-profit research that kind of increases the amount of research available on the internet and the academic papers being produced, and it makes it much harder to peer review and scrutinize every single individual thing that comes out. What are your main concerns in relation to this, especially how it's available on the internet and how it's able to be verified? And what role do you see AI playing in the review of scientific literature in the future?
There are a lot of scientific research published. As we already talked about, there is like a huge number of papers. It's impossible to read all of them. Even if you're an expert in a given field, just keeping up and reading everything that is published in your field is borderline impossible. In this explosion of academic literature, you have like really good stuff, good research that is done using AI, not using AI, just good stuff that actually brings new knowledge. Then you have a lot of just incremental stuff, like that people, that is very important, still very important. It doesn't shatter our understanding of things, but it's important that we confirm certain things, we check them again and again. There is a bunch of this kind of research. And then there is a lot of bad research. Like the worst kind of research is when people intentionally produce fake research, and why one might want to do that. For example, you're a company that produces certain kind of product, and you want to convince the governments and the population that this is a safe product. And you have an incentive to specifically sponsor the studies that conclude that your product is safe. As a company, so in a sense, a company can have good intentions, that they really think that they have a new good product. They want it to be approved by regulation organizations. They want people to like it. So they commission these studies? What happens? Is it often these companies fund specific laboratories that are inclined to produce beneficial studies for the corporations? And at the end, there are a lot of stories across the board, like tobacco industry, for example, that it was known for producing a lot of studies about safety of cigarettes. Now we have the same story with vaping. Everything is very vague, and there are a lot of studies that say one thing, there are a lot of studies that say another thing. Most of the studies are funded somehow through by tobacco industry. Still, you can see how the companies explicitly try to produce studies beneficial for them. So in some cases, it's obvious. And then now we live in the world when artificial intelligence can change this whole process. And one can come up with a scenario where AI is a force of good, and one can come up with a scenario when AI is a force of evil. So in a sense, AI can become an ultimate investigator, an ultimate like academic sleuth, like some entity that researchers, and finds the conflicts of interest, finds mistakes in papers. So this AI that has unlimited amount of time can look through all of the subjects at once, will start finding this stuff. And in a very optimistic scenario, we as a scientific community will be able to correct them using the same AI. That AI will show us like, this is a problem, let's fix it. And gradually we will sort of clean up scientific record. And also we will discover not disclosed conflicts of interests, we'll find all of this sort of like second order problems.
Well, you've got this other side of AI, which is, like you said, like there's a potential for AI to be problematic in a way. Maybe you could talk about that. What are some of those disadvantages, like with the bias maybe behind AI, or what are the issues that you might see there?
Yeah, so there are a lot of issues that potentially can arise and already arising. For example, there are reports, again, as I mentioned, a lot of papers are now written using artificial intelligence. And if your objective is just to write something and get this academic points, AI allows you just to publish a lot of nonsense. And there are now journals like full of AI-generated content. For a scientist, it can be obvious that this is just AI slop that was generated. But for broader community, it might sound reasonable sometimes. Like you see a claim that if you eat certain diet, you will become healthy and stronger. Do you trust it or not? You think like, is it true or not? And there is a link to a peer-reviewed article. And you think, okay, it's peer-reviewed article. Probably it's true. But in fact, it can be an AI-generated article in some random journal. So in fact, it can be not trustworthy. So this is how AI can affect it. But then even if you have good intentions and you start using AI in your everyday work, there are some biases that AI brings. And there are a lot of studies when people ask AI to generate a picture of someone. You see that it carries with its training set, because all of these AI models were trained on something, on some collection of pictures, on some collection of texts and documents. It carries biases from those documents with it. And if you use an AI for generating something, you bring those biases in. Yes, it's a problem, especially in some fields that, like in social sciences, it might be more important than in physics, because in physics, if you bring in some cultural biases, maybe those are not as important as they are in social sciences.
In terms of the importance of public trust in scientific publication and the need for science to be able to build on existing literature, what kind of change do you think is necessary in the scientific community and maybe broader to respond to the prevalence of AI programs in these kind of spaces and the way that it will inevitably become part of scientific literature in the future?
I think when it comes to trust in science, one of many problems we have is that there is like wrong expectations from science. Like general public has wrong expectations of science, and also scientists themselves, they create the image of science that it's not realistic. Like if you look at news in science, all of the news will be like breaking news. It will be exaggerated, and it builds up this expectation. And then scientists try to play this image. Like when they publish a result, they also want to sort of make it a little bit more sparkly, make it a little bit more controversial to get more eyes on it. All of this system of incentives creates not a real picture of science, because in reality, science, most of it is boring. It's mundane. You just gradually improve your knowledge. You check 10 times what you have done before. Like it's boring, and it's important to keep it this way, because we want to check everything, we want to confirm everything, we want to be confident, especially in the results that we immediately apply in our life. So that's important. And then AI, again, it changes these dynamics in many ways. For example, now people use AI almost as frequently, or not more frequently, than search online. And even on Google right now, if you go and ask something, it often will generate you an AI answer. And there is a lot of research that shows that people do not scroll Google search page like to the bottom. No one goes to the second page on Google. Like everyone clicks on top links. And now instead of top links, you have AI generated stuff on top. So pretty much all our relationship with information right now online is going through AI. And now if a person has a genuine question about some scientific topic and they get an answer, often it's not connected to any scientific knowledge. It's just an answer. Like if you go to ChatGPT and ask it something, it just gives you an answer. In this case, if you start trusting this answer, so you essentially trust AI model, and all of these AI models are like cutting edge AI models that people like to use. All of them currently are trained by a couple of companies. And the question is, what kind of incentives these companies will have? What kind of business models they will adapt? Because in case of Google and search engines, we know that they sell advertising. And when you search for something, it will give you ads of that object. So we are already trained. We know that we see these ads, like maybe that's not the best product. Maybe it's just like I was force-fed it, like those products. And with social media, we sort of know that there are sometimes advertisements appear. At least you know how to interact with ads. And with AI, we don't know yet what will happen, how they will monetize this whole process. And when you will be fed sort of advertisements or whatever it will be, some agenda that they will have. So again, it's a problem with AI in general, but with science, the problem is that we always have this hope that science will bring us some immediate access to reality. Like it will give us like ground truth about something. And in this situation, when there are so many layers between scientific experiments that generated some result and a consumer, and in between you have Wikipedia, an AI model trained on Wikipedia, and then some companies in between all of that, you don't know how it will all fold and what the end user will actually see when they will ask a question about scientific study.
That was Victoria University of Wellington's Alexander Korov about the changes in scientific peer review and the future of AI's influence on academic research.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.